Hello.
Doing it together?
I guess, yes. It looks like it.
That's what they're saying.
Well, for both of you guys, what role does the special teams have in your careers and in their pitch to you? How much was special teams involved?
Yeah, it's big. You know, it's 1/3 of the game. You know, it's something that really can flip the field. You know, obviously just experiences in the past. I mean, it can really have a lasting impact on the team, just creating a long field for the defense, you know, for ours, and, you know, a short field for our offense. So, you know, when you put the team in good positions, then you have a lot more success.
How much did they talk to you guys about? I'm sorry, if you want to answer.
I was just going to touch on, you know, special teams being a very important facet of the game. Obviously, a game changer at any given time, you know, field position. The way you play, you know, Coach Kelly's definitely expressed to us his feelings towards how important special teams is for the game and what he expects us to do and help with special teams as we get underway here.
How much did they talk to you about coming in here and having the opportunity to compete for a starting job at safety and outside linebacker?
I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, that we plan on doing. You know, no matter who it is, you know, we're going to push whoever it is, you know, for any position to come in, help the team win. And I think I speak for Brian as well, you know, just to, you know, make the team as best we can.
Most definitely. Obviously, we're brought in and given a role, but, you know, we also take it very seriously to create a competitive environment and push each other as well as everybody else on the team. We know that'll definitely help. You know, push the team to the level that obviously Coach Kelly wants to take the team. You know, we really look forward to getting out there playing and competing with all these other guys that we just keep hearing great things about.
It seems like Chip Kelly obviously has a concern for all phases, and special teams apparently is really important to him. Has he expressed that to you guys, how important special teams should be important to everybody? But I'm saying it looks like more than other coaches, he really puts an importance in special teams.
I mean, he's kind of told me that really, you know, your special teams is, and your backups are really only as good as, you know, your special teams and the backups that you have. Being able to have confidence in the players that you have on special teams to be able to step in to a defensive role if there's an injury or something, you know, God forbid something happens to one of the starters, but being able to be, you know, agile, athletic, you know, big, strong, fast, tenacious, things of that sort that kind of take a special person on special teams. You know, he definitely has expressed what his feelings are towards it.
Hey, Chris, you played behind what might be the best safety combination in the league. What'd you get from that experience with them, and how much did that keep you from actually playing defense?
Yeah, I think that's really a lot of the part why I didn't play a lot of defense, you know. My rookie year, I came in, I played underneath Deshaun Golson, and then for the past 3 years, I've been underneath Earl Thomas. So, you know, it's developed a lot in me. It's really pushed me as an athlete. You know, Earl's phenomenal. I mean, I've learned so much from him, not only just on the field, but off the field. You know, a great relationship with him, and, you know, just the mentality that he brings has really rubbed off on me, and, you know, I'm ready to bring that here to Philly and, you know, ready to, you know, go out here and execute.
Chris, there were reports that it was down to the Eagles and the Redskins. Some people actually thought maybe the Redskins had it.
Yeah.
What happened, and was it just you choosing the Eagles over the Redskins?
Yeah, there's quite a few teams in the mix. There's at least three or four, and, you know, yeah, it kind of came down between those two, you know, toward the end, and, you know, really just felt like this is a great situation. You know, obviously I know the special teams coordinator, Coach Phipp, and, you know, what Coach Kelly's been able to do here, and, you know, just watching the teams, you know, we watch film on everybody, you know, throughout the year. And so when you really start evaluating and seeing what their team's been able to do, the culture here, the attitude, you know, the talent on the roster, it was just such an attractive fit for me, and, you know, really excited to be here and be a part of this great organization.
Is part of that the fact that you think the Eagles have a better chance to go further than the Redskins?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it's just, I think almost more than anything, it's just with Coach Kelly's trying to do with Coach Pete Carroll, what he was trying to do, they're very similar along, you know, it's very unorthodox. There's a lot of science behind what they're doing. You know, the approach is very similar. You know, the scheme schematically on special teams, very similar. So I'm, you know, really kind of just be sliding into, you know, what I was doing over there and it's going to be pretty seamless.
Both of you guys, when you look at what the Eagles have done so far in free agency and this offseason, building off of last year, what are your impressions of this team going forward after what they've done?
I feel like coming off of a season last year, they've built up a lot of momentum coming into this season. And from what I see in free agency, obviously with the acquisitions of us and you know, Sproles, I've just heard we were able to acquire Sproles. I mean, it's looking really good. You know, we're definitely going to be able to keep the stride from last season.
Brian, I'm sure you probably feel a little at home here. You know, all the Houston Texans that were former teammates. Have you had a chance to talk to Barwin or D'Amico or any of the guys from?
Yeah, you know, they reached out to me when they found out that you know, Philadelphia was an option. I reached out to them, told them that I was on my way up here, and I was actually really excited. It was definitely a relief to know that there was going to be familiar faces in the locker room. It helped the transition be a lot easier. That way I can just come in, get straight to work, focus on football, and I don't have to worry about the other things, the little things that can be distracting.
Brian, how difficult was it for you to leave Houston, the team that gave you, I guess, what you call a second chance to get into this game?
It was difficult. You know, obviously, being a restricted free agent, my idea was that I was going to stay in Houston for at least one more year. You know, I've kind of planted my feet in Houston with family and stuff like that. But, you know, Philadelphia is an amazing organization, and I'm definitely happy to be a part of it, and I'm ready to go.
Chris, you guys played against the Saints in the playoffs and everything, and I'm sure you went up against Sproles on special teams, if not on defense.
Absolutely.
If you could just describe what that was like, you know, preparing for him.
You know, he's that guy that, you know, when you prepare for, you know, more than any other returner, he's got a dangerous side to him. You know, he's got an edge, he's got an ability. I think the thing that really goes understated is everybody talks about how short he is, but I think that's really such a great advantage to him. He's got a low center of gravity. I think it's really hard for a lot of guys to dip, you know, to get on tackles, and then he's so powerful, he really is able to get back upfield. So, you know, obviously he's shifty. That's stating the obvious. All you guys can see that. But one of the things that I've kind of heard from across the league is just his work ethic and his ability in practice to perform. And I think that's going to be a huge asset to the mindset of this team. And, you know, I think he really offers a unique quality in that regard to our organization.
Did you guys know, either of you know much about the fact that the Eagles do practice on Tuesdays before you signed here?
I didn't know very much. I've actually heard a little bit about it. But, you know, from the results that he got from it last year compared to what they were doing the year before that, you know, it seems like it's working. So I'm open to change. Obviously, being a part of this business, you have to be okay with certain transitions and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited to get out there and see what he has going for us.
So you never felt compelled to call Connor or D'Amico to ask those guys what was behind that thinking?
No, not at all. It was actually explained very well behind the thinking. You know, last year the Eagles, I don't think, placed anybody on IR, so I'm okay with that. And if it's based around the program and the way he's running it, I'm okay with that.
Chris, can you offer a couple examples of the things that they were doing in Seattle that you referenced that you think is going to be similar here, kind of being out of the box?
You know, I think it's just the mindset of guys. I think that's the biggest thing you kind of see, the culture in our locker room now. Just from talking around people around the building and seeing the guys that they're acquiring through free agency, they're getting a certain mindset of guy and of a player. And so I think when you see, you know, those guys who are cut from the same cloth, you know, kind of all come together, I think it's infectious. You know, one guy sharpening the other, they're feeding off each other. And, you know, everybody's trying to compete and push the bar and, you know, really trying to win. And in regards to the questions about practice, man, we're here to try to win football games, and we're here to win a championship. If we need to practice on Sunday for the game, we'll practice on Sunday before the game. So, you know, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, we're here to do whatever it takes to win. So,
Brian, you got some attention 2 years ago for that play where you lost your helmet against Tennessee and went and made the tackle head-on helmet without it. Can you kind of recount that play, and is that pretty much the way you play special teams? I mean, that kind of fearlessness?
I mean, that play in general, no, I wouldn't advise anybody. In fact, the reason why my helmet came off is because I was getting manhandled a little bit. I was being blocked, and I mean, my helmet came off and he stopped, and you know, I don't really recognize that word. So I kept going. I noticed Mariani was up the sideline, and I wasn't just going to let him score. So, in fact, I was kind of thinking about what Coach Joe Marr was going to say to me about how bad I was getting blocked. So I just continued to make the tackle.
Brian, you took an unusual path to the NFL. You kind of fill us in on those years before.
It was a long journey. It was definitely a lot of fun, and you know, I don't think I'd be standing here talking to you today if it wasn't for that journey. You know, played a year for the University of Idaho out of high school. Unfortunately, I didn't realize you had to go to class and get good grades in order to play football. Had to learn that the hard way. I took a year off, come from a pretty humble beginning, blue collar family, decided to go back and work with the family. I thought that was going to be something that I'd do just like, you know, generations before me. After about 3 months, I realized that wasn't something that I wanted to do. Decided to go back to school, found my way down to Long Beach City College, played 2 years there. There's a real great guy, Bobby King. He came and found me from West Texas A&M at Long Beach City. He recruited me to the Panhandle of Texas. Played there for 2 years. Unfortunately, my senior year, you know, got into some trouble. There was some character issues that people were questioning. When I was coming out my senior year, Coach King, fortunately enough, he was you know, brought up onto the staff with Wade Phillips when he came to Houston from Dallas. And, you know, Coach King did a great thing for me. And, you know, I feel like I owe him a lot, stood up for me. You know, put his name on the line, told the Houston organization that, you know, it was a misjudgment, you know, that I don't have character issues, that I'm a good guy, a good quality guy, work hard. I've always worked hard for everything I have. So, you know, that's kind of why Houston sits close to my heart, because they did kind of give me a shot when nobody else was really batting an eyelash. So it was a long road, but, you know, I ended up where I wanted to be at the beginning of that journey. So, you know, I can't complain, and I'm gonna give praise to God, because I know that I'm definitely blessed, and you know, he's a lot of the reason why I'm here as well.
Sorry, you said when you went back to work with your family, what was the business?
It wasn't working with the family. You know, I come from, you know, pretty blue collar family. They, you know, have done whatever, whether it was working retail, you know, military, however it goes. I actually got a job making concrete railroad ties for a company named CXT. It was backbreaking work for $10 an hour, and it was about 75 hours a week. I decided that I deserved an education over a broken back.
Did you really try to tackle a fire hydrant when you were a kid?
Yeah, actually. it was kind of a funny story. I was playing football with one of my mom's ex-boyfriends, and you know, we were out there playing football, you know, in the playground. There was a fire hydrant at the end of it, and I didn't see it when I was running, and you know, came across it with my face first, and it kind of turned out to be an interesting story. But you know, it's led to me, you know, tackling, as people say, they're not surprised to see me tackling people without my helmet on and stuff, because I started young.
And then Chris, what's your path here? You were a walk-on, and then
I didn't receive any recruiting attention out of high school. I had one school, Western Michigan, give me a chance to walk on. Spent 2 years there. Facebooked one of the guys on the Wisconsin Badgers football team who was a walk-on. Luke Swan. Yeah, he was the best receiver at the time, former walk-on. And asked him if he'd take my film to the head coach, and he said he'd look at it, and he did, and took it to the head coach, got a call, got invited to training camp, switched to defense, and got put on scholarship my fifth year in college, and was the team captain for the Badgers. So went undrafted to the NFL, kind of, you know, real similar, and so, you know, here we are today.
When do you guys get your Super Bowl rings, or did you?
I'm not sure yet. I think probably like in June, I'd say. Probably sometime in the summer. I've heard past Super Bowl teams got them then. So,
49ers Seahawks rivalry is such a big deal. Was it strange for you? And did people want to ask you about it last year, having played for the 49ers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I was there with Coach Harbaugh, and you know, a lot of the core guys on that team, you know, I was there playing with them for the 49ers. So coaching staff, players, all those guys, but have great relationships with them. Obviously, it's a heated rivalry, and, you know, one I'm sure everybody likes to watch. And so it'll be fun to see how that one plays out.
Brian, Donnie Jones was talking yesterday about how you have the perfect special teams mentality. What is the mentality you need on special teams?
Kill, maim, and destroy.
All right. How about you, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, you watch film. I mean, what would you say? You know, I mean, I'll talk about him for a second. I mean, this guy's a great player. You guys are going to see a guy who comes in, works hard, who's probably more athletic than you would think, and you know, does everything he needs to do. And so, I'm thrilled to be playing with him. I think it's going to be a great compliment, for sure.
What's the mindset you need to play special teams and embrace special teams?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it takes a unique person. I think, you know, so often people think about, you know, kickoff guys just run down the field and go tackle the ball carrier, which maybe some guys do, but it's a lot more calculated than that. So you have to have a person who can make decisions quick, read things really fast, and, you know, be athletic but have a lot of grit to them. So I really think special teams encompasses a lot about what a football player is. You know, it's a lot different mentality than maybe what a cornerback might be thinking or a certain guy like that. So a lot of different factors are involved for that.
Brian, your father was what, 7'4"?
My grandfather, yeah, he was 7'4". Unfortunately, he was not 460 pounds. There was a mix-up in the weight. He was right around 365. Okay. So he did have a little bit of a belly, but he was all legs. And you know, his head was a little lumpy from all the door jams that he was running into.
What did he do?
He was military. He was a World War II veteran. Unfortunately, his back was severed with a bayonet, and he was honorably discharged for that, as well as it was costing them too much money for his BTUs, or I'm not sure what they call it for the Army, but. It was costing him quite a bit of money to pay for his uniform and stuff because he was so big. But he was an MP for a while.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Dave Spadaro with you here. We will get Chris and Brian into the studio here. Two very interesting players, and they are introduced today. Key members of this 2014 free agency class for the Eagles. Hope all you Eagles fans are having a great day. Big news, of course, today. Eagles making the trade with the Saints to acquire Darren Sproles. And then just a short time after that, making the announcement that they've agreed to terms with Nolan Carroll, a cornerback who played four seasons with the Miami Dolphins. We expect them in town on Friday. So before we get to Chris and Brian, we had a chance and some phone calls, because I know the world of Eagles fans out there, they want to sound off just a little bit and talk about what a fun week and productive week this has been for the Eagles. First, let's go to a little interview I had just a few moments ago. Brian Baldinger, the NFL Network, wanted to get a national perspective on the moves the Eagles have made. So on the other side, we will hear from Baldy, and then, of course, the newest members of the Philadelphia Eagles. We're just getting started here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks, there's people ringing bells above me, there's honking going on, there's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
All right, we welcome you in the studio. Dave Spadaro, joined by Chris Maragos, one of the newest members of the Philadelphia Eagles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing.
Good, good.
Good to be here.
What's it like to be a free agent?
Oh, it's unreal, man. It's kind of crazy. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. You don't know where you're gonna be. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the above. But
did you just like bunker, you know, just wait to your agent? We're like sitting with your agent the whole time. Phone calls.
Yeah, we were phone calling all day. Yeah, we were talking to multiple teams, and they're exchanging offers and the countering and all this kind of stuff. So they're calling me, calling them, calling me. You know, so it's lot of back and forth and a lot of uncertainty, but it's fun.
And you're a new daddy too, right?
New dad. I got two boys now, but yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, new one, 4 weeks, 3 days after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. We have not yet had the pleasure of winning a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And reading a lot about you and seeing you play and the experience that you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like?
It was unreal. I mean, you know, obviously I'm stating the obvious. It was a great experience, but you know, really what the NFL does and really what it stands for and, you know, the excitement of the game, it's just, it's unmatched. You know, being in New York was obviously great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Mecca, you know, and so, you know, you really have an opportunity to play at the high stage. And I think as an athlete, you want to do that.
Did they let you go into New York City at all? Was there downtime to go explore, walk around the city?
Yeah, the first few days we had some downtime. So we went to a Brooklyn Nets game and we went to a Knicks game. So we were able to go check out the games and, you know, kind of see the city a little bit and kind of hang out. But then once kind of Wednesday hit, then we were, you know, it was all business at that point.
I don't recall. Did you kick off or receive a kick on the first play? Did Seattle kick off in that game?
Yeah.
So were you on the field?
We were kicking off, but they kicked off to us, and we got a touchdown on that one.
Right, yeah, but no, so. I'm saying the first play of the game. There's all the everybody's in the stands taking the pictures, and we played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, we kicked it off. Yeah,
okay,
and
so you're on the field. Did you notice like all these bulbs going off and just surreal?
It was surreal. You know, you watch the game your whole life as a kid, and you know you see and we're off. You know the whole thing and the bulbs flashing, and you know it's. Kind of before you're going out there, you're like, dude, I'm about to run down on the first kickoff, you know, in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I've been watching this my whole life. Now everybody's watching you. And, yeah, it's unreal. I mean, when you're going, you kind of feel the lights going, but you're so locked in, man. It's like anything. You don't hear the crowd noise or anything like that. You just go play ball.
When did you fall in love with the game of football?
I started playing in seventh grade. Or, I'm sorry. I started playing when I was seven. I'd probably say I fell in love with it when I was about five.
Okay. Yep. And were you always the best one on the team?
No, never. No, I wasn't really the best one on my team all throughout Little League. I was probably the best one on my team once I got to eighth grade. Wasn't the best one on my team until I got to my senior year in high school. And I don't know, I guess I'm still trying to be the best on the team since college in the NFL. But I guess I could. All right, yeah, I'm the best on the team.
You're the best on the team. You have to have that cockiness.
Yeah, man.
Russell Wilson, all right.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, you know, okay.
All right.
But it's hard, Chris, to make it in the NFL. We all know that. And you weren't drafted, and you've come up the hard way.
Absolutely.
And you've seen players who walk into a locker room, and you're like, wow, I mean, he looks like a player. He's the high draft pick. Why have you made it when maybe others haven't?
Well, for all those listening on the radio, I don't think you'd pick me out walking down the street as a football player. But, you know, I think it just comes down to determination, a heart, you know, a desire to want to do the little things other people weren't willing to do. And, you know, I've been able to do that my whole career as a walk-on and as being undrafted. And, you know, when guys weren't willing to do things, I was. And, you know, I was the one who stuck around and they weren't. And when I had opportunities to make plays, I made plays. And, you know, I just kept building off of that.
Are you a gym rat? Are you a football rat? Is this the game that you just live and die for, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I'm a winning rat. You know, I like to win. You know, I have a desire, you know, to be the best. I think any competitor does. And, you know, whatever that looks, whether that's me taking care of my body, of course I do that. And, you know, being in the film room, I definitely take care of that too. So it's kind of all-encompassing, man. You have a strong desire to want to be the best. And, you know, you're willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to kind of, you know, get that done.
So what was it like after the win that night and then – going back to Seattle and the great fans of the Seattle Seahawks enjoying the parade with you?
It was cool. You know, I mean, you win the game, but you know, we won games this year. You win so many games throughout your career. And so, you know, it's weird because you get in this, you know, methodical state of just, okay, we're on to the next game. We're on to the next, especially in the playoffs. It's, okay, one more, on to the next. And so when you finally win it, you're like, okay, what's next? You know, and it's like, we just won it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's really kind of started to set in, you know, probably in the last week or so to say, like, hey, we just won the Super Bowl, and, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah, and then business becomes reality, and you've got to find a job. And
absolutely.
Fortunately, we're here with you in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
For those fans who don't know you,
yep.
What can they expect to see?
You know, I think you're going to see a hardworking guy. I think you're going to see a style of play and a mentality that represents a lot of people like the city of Philadelphia. You know, I'm a gritty type guy, a gritty player. You know, I'm willing to do what it takes, and, you know, nothing's been handed me, and I don't want anything handed to me. And so, you know, I come in with that attitude every day to want to be great and to want to be the best. And, you know, hopefully I'll put myself in that position to do that.
What's the future of special teams in the NFL? Kickoffs or not, you know, it's a for two, three years ago, kickoff, people were like, that's not even going to be around any longer. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, you see how games turn around on kickoffs. It's I know that Brian said it's seek, maim, and destroy. Was that what it was? Or it was kill, maim,
like
and destroy?
Something like that. I don't know. Also he's discipline. Kind of a machine. I don't know.
It's also discipline, and it's working hard and using your hands and being really technically sound.
Yeah. You know, special teams is a different animal. You know, it's for me, just playing defense and special teams, special teams to me is harder just because there's so many more things you have to do. I mean, to block a guy running on full speed and you got to sit there and just, you know, stone them and block them.
Right.
It's hard. You got to be athletic. You got to know leverage points. You got to know little tricks of the trade. It's an art, you know? And so, it's a big part of the game. And I think that's why you see Philadelphia emphasize it.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you, Chris.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. Chris Maragos in town to play safety, to play special teams, to be a big help in 2014 and beyond. We thank you for joining us.
All right.
On PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Dave Spadaro in studio with Brian Braman, Philadelphia Eagles linebacker, special teams player, and someone who's going to help the defense, help the special teams. And we welcome you into Philadelphia, man.
Thank you.
First day here. So for fans who don't know, you agree to terms, right? And then they call you up and they say, we got to get you in Philadelphia. What do you do when you get here?
Really the first thing I did was, head up here to the stadium so that way I could really kind of, you know, get a feel for it, meet the coaches, really kind of see who I'm going to be working with. And then I went and ate a phenomenal steak at Del
really?
Frisco's.
Excellent. Not a cheesesteak, a real steak.
A real steak. Like a bone-in filet.
Nice. Are you do you aspire to find a great cheesesteak?
I do. In fact, Twitter.
You asked for that yesterday.
Yeah, there's been a lot of suggestions.
And who's the leading candidate at this point?
You
don't know the names?
Really, I'm trying to catch up on the Twitter feed.
I haven't
been able to, update it all the way.
Very hectic time. The seventh, Brian. You're the seventh former Houston Texan on this Philadelphia Eagles roster. Do guys who have left Houston and come to Philadelphia, you hear back through the pipeline what a great place this is to play?
We do. Yeah. I mean, obviously being in touch, having past work with these guys in the past, they talk about their experience in Houston and how great it was and, the new experience that they have in Philadelphia and just how different it is, how exciting, how much more energy and stuff like that you're able to bring to the table and stuff. So I think down in Houston, the Texas boys and stuff like that are bred with some good character, some good qualities and stuff like that. And I think Philadelphia likes them.
What was their recruiting pitch that you heard from Chip or from whomever gave you a call?
It was really just a phone call, honestly. Going into free agency, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going to happen. I really wasn't sure as far as, what teams were planning on making what moves and just really not knowing where I fit in, where I was going to be at. It was definitely nice to get a phone call. And that's really all it took, because after we started talking, I could really tell it was going to be a good fit.
We talked to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle yesterday, and he was surprised that Houston didn't tender you. He thought that you had played really well in the preseason when you had a chance at linebacker, and then played very well on special teams. Were you surprised that Houston didn't want to keep you around?
I think there was a couple people that were surprised. I was prepared for it. Mm-hmm. I was kind of expecting it. I know that anything can happen in this business. So really, you know, it wasn't too shocking to me. I knew that, you know, instead of just dwelling on that, whether they decided I was worth a tender or not, I just needed to put my nose to the grindstone and get back to it. You know, I wasn't going to get anywhere feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah, the Eagles, listen, you have a press conference and people ask you about special teams, and the same with Chris. And I know every player wants to start in the NFL. So let's talk about you as a developing linebacker. Where are you as a developing linebacker? How comfortable do you feel in a 3-4 playing on the edge? Are you open side? Are you closed side? What kind of tell us a little bit.
Well, I've been playing in Wade Phillips' 3-4 defensive mm-hmm. scheme for the last 3 years. He rushes a lot. There's a lot of man coverage. And, you know, he's done great things with that 3-4 scheme. They run a little bit more of a true 3-4 scheme here. I don't think it'd be very hard for me to transition. Obviously, with Connor, him understanding what it was like to play in Wade's, as well as making the transition here, being able to use him, piggyback off of him for terminology and stuff like that. Whether you know, this is the same or that's the same. You know, as far as me being a developing linebacker, I'm gonna allow the coaches to kind of grade my progress and see where I stand, but you know, I'm not gonna stop giving as much as I can, the effort and, you know, the tenacity that I feel like I bring, my attitude to the field, and the love and passion that I play with the game.
You do love it out there, don't you? You love the competition, the physical nature of the game, don't you?
Yeah, it's really the only way that you can explain it.
Yeah,
I love my job.
Yeah, that's great. So do I. And when you're doing it, don't you feel like you have this rush that you almost don't even, you're almost out of body at times on the field?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just watching yourself.
Yeah, that's
being
cool.
being able to see things progress, develop, you know, making the decisions, game time decisions, you know, it's really awesome. Being able to see the progress that you make as a player.
Brian, what's your relationship like with Connor? And what do you think you have learned from him? And what will you look to learn from him?
I mean, that guy's a workhorse. If there's anything that I picked up while I was in Houston with him, it was that he likes to win.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go out there and he's going to work harder than anybody and everybody. If you say you can work this hard, he's going to tell you that he can work this hard. And the great thing is it's not bragging, because he can back it up. He'll get out there and he'll drive you into the ground. As far as my experience, my rookie year, I was a rookie. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, you know, he was the starting linebacker. So, you know, there was definitely, you know, the veteran rookie kind of deal between us. And, you know, unfortunately he, made his way out of Houston after my rookie year. So I wasn't really able to follow too much in his footsteps. But I'm excited to get back here working with him again here in Philly.
You had some bumps in the road as a collegiate young man.
Yeah.
When did you decide, what made you decide to just, to get your act together and focus on the game of football and to really, really see where you could take it?
I mean, it was just the thought of not having it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting into trouble and seeing the reality of, you know, me possibly never playing football again. It was catastrophic. It was definitely a game changer. I realized that there's no reason for me to do anything other than what I love. And if I'm doing anything that could be detrimental to it, then, you know, it's not anything that I do love. You know, if you care about something enough, you'll give the effort and you'll have the determination to do whatever and you know, however hard it takes, however long it takes to get what you want out of it.
You a lunch pail kind of player?
Yeah, I bring my hard hat.
Yeah, that's what this city's all about. So they're going to love you here.
That's all great. Right?
Brian, thanks. Welcome to Philadelphia.
I appreciate it.
Brian Brayman, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you.
On PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by.
That's fantastic.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
We spoke to Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network on day one of free agency when the Eagles agreed to terms very quickly with safety Malcolm Jenkins. Now things have accelerated here in free agency, so we bring Baldy back in to discuss the very latest about the Philadelphia Eagles. Brian, Eagles quite active in these first couple of days of free agency, aren't they?
They are, and they've been bargain hunting, and they've been doing their homework, Dave. And so if you just look at the past two recent Super Bowl champions, Baltimore Ravens 2 years ago, Seattle last year, both those teams were very active in free agency and found real bargains. You go back to Baltimore with how they found Bernard Pollard, who secured their secondary. It's a $1 million signing. He was a great fit in the secondary. If you look at Seattle last year, day two signings of Michael Bennett and, you know, Cliff Averill and a couple of other guys that really made a difference in that team. I think I'm not predicting Super Bowl champions here for the Eagles, but, you know, some of these guys, they don't make big splashes yet. They're going to be a factor in this football team next year.
Obviously, the main guy to talk about here is Darren Sproles, and I know you've watched him over the years. He is a very difficult player against which to match up. How do you envision Chip using him offensively?
Well, I don't know exactly. I mean, he's been the third down specialist. If you watch New Orleans over the last 3 years with Darren Sproles and Jimmy Graham, I mean, they were amongst the leaders on third down conversions, and where they went to on third down, it was either Jimmy Graham down the seam or it was Sproles out of the backfield. But this is a very versatile chess piece. And I always go back to Chip Kelly's last game at Oregon, Dave, when they played Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl. And I distinctly remember watching that game and studying the game and watching plays that I had never seen run before in football in that day. And I just think that with Darren Sproles, some of the imagination, some of the creativity, some of the ideas that Chip Kelly has as to how to diversify offense, how to utilize the spread formations, that Darren Sproles is probably the most perfect fit with everything else that they have right now.
Brian, when you look at the Eagles offense, one that led the league with explosive plus 20 plays last year, franchise record, points scored, led the league in rushing, and then you bring Jeremy Maclin into the mix, you bring Darren Sproles into the mix, it would seem that the depth in some of the personnel packages really tilts toward the Eagles' favor in a big way in year two with Chip Kelly here.
Well, I would agree, Dave. I mean, look, I mean, this split offense, there's no secret to it. I mean, they want you to defend every blade of grass, horizontally, vertically. And they have those guys now that can stretch the field horizontally, that can stretch it vertically. There is an option on every play, whether to run or throw it, depending on what the defense is doing. I would say that with the draft still looming, 2 months away now, that the additions offensively are going to be pure speed. That's what I look for them to draft, because I think they can still get faster offensively.
Let's go to the defensive side of the football. Jenkins, we spoke about earlier in the week. Nolan Carroll had a nice season last year in a situational role with the Miami Dolphins, threw a few interceptions, a couple of sacks. Athletic guy, what do you make of him and where he would fit into the rotation here at cornerback?
Well, the Eagles have been on a 3-year run now to get bigger in the secondary. Seattle showed you what size can do, combined with great technique and great athletes, the Legion of Doom. But I just think that, you know, if you look at what they signed last year, Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and now Nate Carroll, They've gotten bigger at the corners. Now, they only had two corners that could play the outside last year. You know, you add Nolan Carroll into the mix now. Now they have three, you know, corners that can play the outside. Boykin is a slot defender. They're getting bigger on the outside. And that started all the way back with the, you know, unfortunate signing of Nnamdi Asamoah, but that they wanted to get bigger out there, and he gives them that. He's a young player with an upside that has had 26 starts. He's experienced. You need at least three corners and at least three safeties that can flat out play anywhere on the field. And right now they're getting closer to getting that.
Brian, do you have any insight on Brian Braman or Chris Maragos, both of whom come in, add some depth to the defense, but primarily you look at them as core players on special teams?
Well, I mean, if you just, you know, you always have to go and look at what happened in the Super Bowl. I mean, the difference in Seattle versus Denver this year was in their special teams, in the depth in their special teams. And they made Denver go a long field all day long. And Maragos was a part of that. Raymond's going to be a part of that. Special teams, I mean, we saw Dave in summer camp. Nobody spent more time in special teams right. in this league than the Eagles did. They improved. Donnie Jones helps. Heck, he could have been the best defensive player the Eagles had last year. But now you need coverage. You need special teams demons that can go down there and secure that ball inside the 20 when it's brought out on kickoff and eliminate punt returns. And these guys help to do that. And they, when you sign core special team players in free agency like they have now, Dave, it just shows you the emphasis that they have on one third of the game that a lot of people talk about but only give lip service to.
So, Brian, where do the Eagles go from here? What needs do you still see for this roster?
I think they still need a safety, Dave. I think they still need a big-time safety. I think they need a corner. And I think they need a wide receiver with speed, and they need a guard. I mean, I think those and a kicker. I think those are the five needs that they need. If they can find an edge rusher in there, I think that they will take one. But right now, the way that they filled a lot of needs of free agency, they can simply look there at 22 if they want to stay there and say, let's take the best player on our board. If they feel like there's a player that they really, really covet, they could move up. They have total flexibility when it comes to this draft right now with what they've done in free agency.
Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, as always, great job. We thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Time to take some phone calls, 215-339-6709. Let's get your reaction to everything going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. Good to meet the newest Eagles here, the young guys who really want to step into the defense and make a difference in special teams, of course. Let's take a call from Paul in Maryland who joins us here. Hey, Paul.
Dave, what's up, man?
Everything's good.
Football fever, brother.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Football fever. Listen, man, I just want to say real quick, I really like all of these signings that we have going on, man.
Good.
I think Chip Kelly, what he's trying to do, man, is have competition. And, you know, I really like that. Everybody's going to come in and compete for a starting job, you know, and you know, for a spot on the team, man. I'm so glad that we did not sign Bird or Ward, man.
And why is that? Tell me why.
I'm going to tell you, because a lot of these times, man, we sign these guys $50 million contracts, $20 million contracts. Once they get paid, man, they pack it in. You know, like I know it. We've seen Nnamdi do it. I didn't want no parts of it, man. Plus, I really think that we're going to try to get one of these safeties, man. I hope that we get Ha-Ha Dicks, man.
Oh, you're talking about in the draft you would like to add a safety.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Dave, real quick, yeah. Keith McGill, man, a cornerback, 6'3". Dave, I'm telling you, man, he's going to be a stud. Keith McGill, brother.
Keith McGill.
Yeah, I'm happy about all the drafts. Good. I mean, all the signings.
Okay. Hey, Paul, I'm going to write that down. Keith McGill from Utah. That's as much as I know about it.
That's the guy, brother. Yes.
All right. Hey, cool. Thanks for the call.
All right, no problem, man.
All right, let's go to another phone call here, 215-339-6709. I just want to make this note. The Eagles, in their group of unrestricted free agents, they have gotten the news that Clifton Gathers, who came to Philadelphia in a trade, the Eagles acquiring him from the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for Stanley Havili. Gathers signs with the Redskins. So he's an unrestricted free agent. He is now a Washington Redskin. Let's go to Levittown, Pennsylvania, and talk to Richie. Hey, Richie.
What's up?
What's up?
Just excited about Darren Sproles coming.
Oh, are you excited about Darren Sproles? Nice. You like Yeah, he's a good football player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fast. If anything happens with Shady, I hope not. But if anything happens, we got him as a backup. That's all we need, and we got a new punt returner.
Yes, sir.
I'm happy about it.
Hey, Richie, thank you, man. Thanks for calling in. I think everybody's very excited about Darren Sproles, and we'll see how the Eagles use him both in the offense and on special teams. He only had 12 kickoff returns last year, so... it's been a little, the number's not tremendously to see impressive from kickoff return, but we all remember what he did to give the Saints such great field position in that playoff game at Lincoln Financial Field. His kickoff and the horse collar tackle giving the Saints a first down in Philadelphia Eagles territory. So, yeah, Richie, we are excited about Darren Sproles. 215-339-6709. We've had a chance today to meet Chris Maragos, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, and Brian Braman, formerly of the Houston Texans. And, of course, the Eagles today adding Darren Sproles in a trade with the Saints in exchange for a fifth-round draft pick and signing Nolan Carroll. 4 years with the Dolphins, pretty good year last year, and now he's a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. So, the Eagles have added Sproles and Jenkins and Carroll and Maragos and Braman in free agency. They've retained Donnie Jones, the punter, and they have been able to extend Riley Cooper and Jeremy Maclin. So a very aggressive performance from the Eagles leading into free agency and these first 3 days of free agency is. Players sign all around the league. The Eagles getting the work done. Marcus in Wisconsin joins us. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
I'm just pretty excited about the Chris Maragos signing because he did play for Wisconsin.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. And he actually graduated from the same high school my dad did. There's about 20 years age difference, but it's still pretty sweet.
Well, you know what? I like Chris's story. You know, when you have these kids, these are the core of your special teams. And thanks for the call. When you have these kind of players who have such hunger, they've worked hard. I mean, clearly, not the most talented player in the league, wasn't drafted, but he's worked his way up the ladder. And when I've read about what Chris did in Seattle and the various roles he had on special teams, really impressive. I mean, he is just somebody who. The Seahawks, I really am kind of surprised they let him go. They valued him tremendously. He was the up-back. He was in all phases of their special teams and fastest player on special teams. So they did a great job with him, and he did a great job with them. So Chris Maragos in as well as Brian Braman to really help the core for these special teams. Now, today Darren Sproles gets the deal done. The Eagles have him. He will not be in Philadelphia today. We do expect to meet Darren Sproles tomorrow, as well as Nolan Carroll. So we'll keep you up to date on any sort of
press briefings at that time. Let's take one more phone call if we can here. And let's go to Florida and talk to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I'm wondering if they're going to address up the middle for the run defense.
So, you know, I think the Eagles would always look to upgrading their interior of the defense. But they do feel good about Benny Logan. They feel good about their young group of defensive linemen. I'm not sure there was any really perfect fit here who is a clear upgrade in free agency, but certainly in the draft and for depth. And now that Gethers is gone, you've got a roster spot open. They'll address defensive line, and they'll get some linebackers, and they'll continue to challenge the defense. They're not done yet, John, right?
Not yet.
How do you like it so far?
Oh, I love what happened so far.
Good. Good. What are your? Give me your order of moves. Which one made you jump out of the chair the most?
The Darren Sproles move.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had called in yesterday and I had discussed that, and I was just so happy when I was at work, it came up on my phone, and I was like, "Whoa, yeah."
Yeah. Well, Eagles getting the deal done, and I think the Redskins were right in that mix too, John. So, can't wait to see how Chip Kelly uses Darren in the offense and the boost that Darren adds to this team's return game, which certainly could be more dynamic. And we see how a big return can turn a game around. The Eagles have one of the best in Darren Sproles right now. All right, John, thanks. All right, so we will be back tomorrow. Guessing mid-afternoon. We'll keep you up to date on that. Darren Sproles has to come to town. Players must pass physicals and then meet with their coaches and do all those things. And in the case of Nolan Carroll, sign a contract to be a Philadelphia Eagle. So the Eagles have added 5 players in free agency. They've retained Donnie Jones. It's been a great week for the Eagles. And we thank you today for joining us as we've introduced Brian Braman and Chris Maragos to the family. Everyone have yourselves a great Eagles day, and make sure you're with us 24/7 as we keep you updated through this wild and crazy and fun and very productive period of free agency. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Enjoy your day.